the Democratic Party now has its nominee for president.
What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
That, of course, is Hillary Clinton on a video feed to the Democratic National Convention last night in Philadelphia after she became the first woman nominee for president of a major party. Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin told us she surprised this first as it gained more attention, but she calls it something Clinton can exploit.
If she does use it to make that speech register that this is a pretty historic moment, it'll have a greater impact than we've imagined so far.
Well, in one way, it's more than just imagine. There was a Vox poll about a month ago that shows only 38% of Americans view her likely nomination as historic. Among Democrats, only 52%. It's almost like denial.
That's incredible. I mean, that is incredible. I mean, I guess, you know, in some ways, this campaign has been so fraught with so much emotion on the Republican side and to some extent some of the email scandal for Hillary and then the fight with Bernie Sanders, that the fact that is an historic fact that this is the first woman may have been lost in people's mind as something that's really happening.
How much of that do you think is attributed to the fact that the Clintons have been around for decades now and her husband Bill sat in the White House for 8 years?
Yeah, it may well be that because we got accustomed to Hillary Clinton being in the White House already, being a very powerful first lady, that it doesn't seem as much of a huge moment to have her become actually the president. If it were some other woman that we didn't know of before, I think it may be that we've already imagined her in the White House.
What about the historic nature that this could be the first time, if Hillary is elected, that spouses would be president?
I have no doubt that for biographers years from now, that's going to add a whole extra dimension to the story. I mean, people like writing about presidents. They might write about a Bill Clinton and then later about a Hillary Clinton. But the fact that they're going to be husband and wife, they were in the presidency before when he was president and she was first lady. And if she's now president, he's there as first gentleman. And people are going to love reading about that because there's always an interest in relationships that goes beyond just the interest in just what the president did and what he stood for. And just as Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt are still incredibly interesting to many people, not simply because each one of them were big figures, but because they were husband and wife, and she was the most powerful first lady at that time. You know, I have no doubt that if she had been alive today and he had just died today, that she could easily have then run and become president in her own right. That's how strong she was. But I think the continuing interest in their relationship will mean the same for Hillary and Clinton that goes beyond what biographers might really write about.
What do you think she needs to get out of this convention in order to get the bump that she needs to have some momentum going out of the convention and into the fall?
What I think people are looking for is Hillary reaching down inside herself and showing that sense of why she does feel internally that she's the person that she can connect to the people out there. I mean, she's done it on occasion. There have been speeches where she couldn't be better. I mean, at the Benghazi hearings, you can see it, how she can master things. In some of those debates, she was truly masterful, even with somebody like Bernie Sanders. Sometimes she'll give a speech that's really good. But I think it's somehow a matter of finding her own voice still. And she found it at the end of the campaign against Obama, interestingly. And I think it's been harder for her to find her voice in this situation. I think she can give a very good speech, and it's a very important thing that that speech be not just personal about her mother and her grandmothers and things like that, but about letting us know how she feels about this moment and what responsibility she has because of being the first woman. I would really deal with that if I were her. I could think it's a very big thing.
Doris Kearns Goodwin, thank you very much for having us over. Very good to see you again.
Very glad to be with you, as always.
With Hillary Clinton now formally the nominee, there's a large sense of unity among Democrats. But there are still some hard feelings among supporters of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. WBUR's Fred Tice reports from Philadelphia on the pushback that former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank encountered at the party's LGBT caucus.
Barney Frank is a superdelegate for Hillary Clinton. He is co-chair of the Rules Committee.
And I will tell you, I have a personal issue with some of the people who were Sanders supporters, not for having been Sanders supporters, but for having for telling us today that they will not vote for Hillary Clinton.
The openly gay former congressman was addressing the LGBT caucus, where many delegates' allegiance remains with Bernie Sanders.
I do not understand how anyone can reconcile a claim to be in a superior moral political position with an intent to disregard LGBT rights when you vote. And I believe we have to carry this to the Sanders people.
Disregarding those rights, Frank implied, because a failure to support Clinton would help Donald Trump. The Republican platform opposes same-sex marriage and supports allowing people to discriminate against gay people if their religious beliefs compel them to. Utah delegate Cristobal Villegas took exception to Frank's comments and confronted him in the hall.
What is going to happen to Bernie delegates? We're going to provoke. We're frustrated. We're tired. We're mad. We're angry. And we're sad. Okay, we're disappointed. But when people like this congressman that goes around and makes sure that everything's divisive in every LGBT caucus, that's the reason everything's going wrong.
I'm quoting Bernie Sanders. He said, he's the one who said people should vote for Hillary Clinton in November.
Yes,
should he have not said
yes,
that? Should he have not said that?
That's when another Utah delegate, Edward Lalonde, interjected.
It's wrong to browbeat people or to bully people who you disagree with.
Lalonde says he will vote for Clinton in November. It was just three delegates in a hallway, one a member of the party establishment behind Clinton, the other two young delegates for Sanders. But it highlighted the raw feelings still present at this convention. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Convention delegates are hearing about many issues this week. One of them is ongoing concerns about police brutality, an issue that demonstrators outside the convention are talking about.
We are here today on the eve of another election between two political parties that have not stopped the police from killing us.
That from one rally yesterday where organizers said they're unhappy about the lack of political action from Democrats on issues affecting black communities. WBUR's Aninjor and Wemeka reports.
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want it?
So we're making our way down Broad Street. I'm in North Philadelphia right now. There are about 200 protesters. Over 200 protesters at this point who are marching. They're holding flags, a variety of different signs, and basically they say that, you know, they're here to protest against police brutality and call attention to what they see as a serious lack of action by both political parties to address issues of police brutality as well as other issues that the black community faces. Among the protesters was Danny Keating. He's a 32-year-old steel worker from Lowell.
Why is it important that you and all these other protesters are out here?
Because the fight for black liberation is a fight for all of us. I mean, no one's going to get free in America until we fight for black people. Racial divisions are one of the key divisions they use to keep working people divided.
Keating, who is white, came to Philly for the DNC to protest. He's a socialist and says Democrats aren't fighting hard enough for the interests of poor people.
I'm not hearing anything about saving our social safety net that's been destroyed since 2008 because the bankers destroyed our economy. They're not saying we're going to hold them accountable. They're saying you need to tighten your belts. We all need to make sacrifices.
Keating was just as critical of Bernie Sanders, and he wasn't the only one. Michael Wilson of Philadelphia, who is black, says both Clinton and Sanders took too long to embrace the Black Lives Matter movement.
It's really important that we get our respect, not just for police killings, but we have a lot of other issues that are very important to the black community. Neither one of them are really speaking very much to incarceration and decarceration. And the Clintons are, they invented that, you know, mass incarceration of the black community with the crime bill in the 90s.
The protesters aren't happy with Republicans either. In fact, Wilson says the black community isn't expecting anything from a Donald Trump presidency. But he says that, in a way, could galvanize the fight for change.
And that's what we need. We don't need to be lulled to sleep anymore by the Democrats, who are basically, for lack of a better word, pimping the black and the brown communities.
Many in the crowd were dissatisfied with what they see as a lot of talk with little action, particularly here at the convention.
Figure if somebody does something wrong, you go to them with your trouble, you know?
Maxwell Robbins drove from Boston to register his complaint in person.
The Democratic Party is the dangerous one because they have the mask of political correctness. Yet everything they say and everything they do are two completely separate entities.
Robbins didn't want to get into specifics about how he feels the Democratic Party is letting down black and poor communities. For others, the list was long and frustratingly old. Protest organizer Kamau Imshale says blacks in Philadelphia have a long history of disappointment with Democrats.
In Philadelphia, there was a Democrat who was mayor when they dropped the bomb on a residential community, when they dropped the bomb on MOVE. You know, in Philadelphia, it was a Democrat who ushered in the idea of stop and frisk wholesale to our communities.
Today, Imshale says black Americans face injustices every day.
I think a lot of times when we think of America as this land of milk and honey where anything is possible and everyone can do everything. But then when you look down and you break down to the communities, you see black people not doing as much. And the instinct is to blame black people, not the systems that keep them from doing as much, right?
Those systems are exactly what these protesters want fixed. For many, that means they'll give their vote to a third-party candidate in November. And for others, it means they'll continue raising their voices outside the political arena to push for change in their communities.
People, power, over police, no justice!
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Zeninjor Enwemeka at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Over police, no justice!
No peace!
People, power,
over the police,
no justice!
No peace!
We want people.
Power over the police.
No justice.
No peace.
We want people.
Power over the police.
Because whose street?
Our street.
Whose street?
Our street.
After last night, Hillary Clinton is now officially the Democratic Party nominee and the first woman ever to head a major party ticket. As music played on the convention stage in Philadelphia last night, she addressed the crowd by video feed from New York.
I am so happy. It's been a great day and night. What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
Massachusetts Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas saw all that last night as she's at the convention in Philadelphia. She spoke with us a short time ago this morning about what this historic nomination means for the Democratic Party and the U.S.
Well, I think it's a remarkable moment in this country's history. We women have certainly come a very long way, and I know that when I first met Hillary in 1992, when she, her husband and my husband were both candidates for the presidency of this country, that I don't think either one of us could have imagined that 24 years later I'd be a congresswoman from Massachusetts, the first at the time in 24 years, which was a glass ceiling in and of itself. But nothing like the glass ceiling she's seeking to break. So I think it's a remarkable moment in, we have it, in which we have an extraordinarily accomplished public official seeking to become the president of the United States who happens to be a woman. And for me personally, it's really quite a very real moment because it's something I don't think we realize how deeply it resonates until we see this happening.
So what were you thinking last night then at the moment when it became official?
Just that, you know, this is such a long time coming, but, you know, I've always said, and I think it's so true, women can't win if women don't run. For decades, women, too many women did not even see that they had the possibility of achieving public office. And so we did not win. But over recent decades, we have been ever more seeking public office. And I think we see the extraordinary benefits of women serving, because it is when women are elected that so many of the needs of families and women are addressed while we address every other issue that we have to confront as a country.
Well, I'm wondering how being the first will play during the campaign. And I ask in this context, former Governor Deval Patrick used to say that I'm not the first black governor. I happen to be a black man who is governor. And I'm wondering how much do you think the Clinton campaign will make of her first?
I think they'll be very thoughtful, be very mindful of the fact that this is a history-making moment for our country. But as I said, we understand as a candidate, in the end, You have to earn the trust of the American people or your constituents if you're seeking to represent a smaller piece of this country. And that's the challenge of any elected official or a person seeking to become elected, that you articulate a vision and you earn the trust of the American people such that they are willing to cast something that is very personal, and that is their vote for that individual. So I don't think you can ignore the fact that this is history-making. I know for me, it, as I said, it resonates very deeply, but on the other hand, it is not enough. That alone cannot earn a person's vote, and so I think the Clinton campaign will be very mindful of that.
Donald Trump, of course, has been downplaying this, saying all along about Hillary Clinton that she's going to play the woman card. I'm wondering what your response to Mr. Trump might be.
In the end, I think it's going to be about the messages that Mr. Trump and Secretary Clinton bring to this race. And yesterday, and the day before, as I listened to the convention, I watched it on TV, what I've been really reminded of is the real differences between the two parties that we see in Secretary Clinton, a message of hope. She well understands our responsibility to future generations. I think we've seen something quite different in Mr. Trump, and that is the choice that the American people will be making in this November.
She going to beat him?
I think so, absolutely. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that does happen.
Massachusetts Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.